From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Aras Peña with your state and local news update. Schools in Juneau are a little safer now that all teachers and staff in the district are eligible to get vaccinated against COVID-19. I spoke to a teacher and the superintendent for this story. Chris Heidemann is a culinary arts teacher at Juneau Douglas Yada'akahle High School. He got his first shot of the COVID-19 vaccine at the city's last vaccination clinic. Heidemann says before that, it was difficult having kids back in his classroom.
It was a constant stressor on top of, you know, the day-to-day stress of trying to design instruction for both remote and in-person students to have to worry about, you know, not having the vaccination.
Superintendent Bridget Weiss says it took a lot of advocacy with the state's medical team to get all teachers on the eligibility tier for vaccination. The original tier was limited to educators 50 and up.
Many other states did not do that. Wherever they put educators in the tiered system, it was just all educators versus split by age. So we were a little surprised when that original announcement came out.
And so far, the numbers are encouraging. She says out of about 750 staff, 350 have been vaccinated at least once. About another 230 are planning to get vaccinated.
We certainly want as many to get vaccinated as are comfortable getting vaccinated. But at this point, it's just been helping facilitate the process so that they know how to get an appointment and all of those pieces.
Heidemann is still teaching a majority of his class remotely. He says with kids, it's especially challenging.
I mean, right now I'm assessing cooking via photographs that they send me from their home kitchens.
But there is an upside to teaching, at least for families.
I've had a ton of comment from parents that it's been awesome to have their kids at home cooking a meal and providing that to siblings and family, and then help cleaning up and working around the kitchen.
He says he's looking forward to the day he can do his job the way it's supposed to be done, in the kitchen with all his students, safely. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Peña. Those eligible to get vaccinated can sign up for the city's upcoming vaccination clinic on March 12th and 13th at juneau.org/vaccine or by calling the city's COVID-19 hotline at 586-6000. And in other news, the pandemic has led to big continuing restrictions at Alaska's largest hospital to help prevent the spread of coronavirus. That means starting almost a year ago, the fleet of Alaskans who make up Providence's Cuddle Corps could no longer come in to hold some of the hospital's sickest newborns. But as Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon reports, hospital employees are stepping in to fill the void.
It's a Saturday evening, and Nathan Johnson is trying to soothe a tiny baby girl at Providence Alaska Medical Center in Anchorage.
Oh, sweet pea, what's going on?
They're in the neonatal intensive care unit, the ICU for infants. And this baby was born really early. She's been here for more than 2 months.
Oh, you'll be okay.
She's only 3 or 4 pounds.
When they're swaddled, they're like a compact little football. That's about the size they are.
Johnson has held the baby girl for nearly half of her stay in the NICU, and he's watched her vital signs improve during that time. But Johnson isn't the baby's dad, or family even. He actually works in Providence's administration, and he's among a group of hospital employees who are volunteering before or after work, at lunch or on the weekends, to hold some of Alaska's tiniest and sickest babies.
It's been an incredibly difficult year for everyone with all of the isolation, and there's just so much fear and political mistrust and so many things going on. And stepping into this just felt like something just pure and good in the face of such a trying year, and it's been remarkable.
Instead of Providence workers, it's normally a group of Alaskans called the Cuddle Corps that dedicate hundreds of hours a month to holding the NICU babies. But like so many things, the coronavirus brought volunteering with patients to a halt last spring. So Providence looked internally, and about 10 employees like Johnson stepped up. Jenny Schaefer, the NICU's family-centered care coordinator, says holding the babies and interacting with them is key for their development.
When you see a baby being held skin to skin, you can watch that medical monitor and you can see their heartbeat stabilize, their respiratory rate stabilize. If you've read all the science, you know that that baby's brain is developing just from being held.
At any one time, Providence has between 40 and 50 babies in its NICU. Some stay for days and some stay for months. Schaefer says the employee volunteers are focused on holding the babies who don't have family around. That might be because the baby is headed to foster care, or because their parents had to return to work or had to travel back to their hometown. And because of pandemic restrictions, the parents can't ask a friend or relative to go hold the baby in their absence.
It's just really kind of hindered the care that a family typically could provide with friends or loved ones, you know, grandma, grandpa, your best friend that would be able to come in and help you.
Schaefer says that has made the volunteer cuddlers even more critical. Another one of those volunteers is Carrie Clark. She's an occupational therapist. A nurse is helping set her up with an infant in the NICU.
Out today?
He just got a bath, so he is like nice and exhausted.
Perfect.
He loved it though. He's in such a good mood.
Did you love it?
Clark usually comes to the NICU about three times a week for an hour or two after her regular workday is over. She says the routine isn't just good for the babies, but her too. It's a balm at the end of a long day and a welcome interaction during a time of more isolation. Like some of the babies, Clark also has no family in town.
For me in particular, where I could go like 4 or 5 months without getting a hug from anybody, this, of course, has been amazing for me because I get to hold a baby, and if you like babies, there's nothing like it.
During her time in the NICU, Clark will sing or talk to the babies. Johnson says he's even attended meetings by phone with a baby on his chest. But most often, he says, he's holding the infant and rambling on about all that they'll be able to see once they leave the hospital, often thinking about his own 8-year-old son as he talks to them.
Super exciting out here.
In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
You can play with puppies, run in the snow, do all kinds of stuff.
The Alaska Marine Highway System is working to finalize the sale of its fast ferries to an overseas bidder. Trasmapi, a Mediterranean-based operator of catamarans, offered about $4.6 million for the Fairweather and Chiniga ferries, but that was less than half of the $10 million reserve price set by the state. At the time bids were opened in January, a state procurement officer noted that a lower price could still be negotiated. John Falvey, a general manager of the state-run ferry system, told a Senate committee on Tuesday that negotiations are progressing with an international firm.
We do have a responsive bidder, and we are continuing as we speak today to work through the process to close the sale.
Trasmapi runs ferries between the Spanish mainland and Ibiza. The Spanish company had also offered about $411,000 for a pair of diesel engines that had cost about $3 million new.
The two swing engines, which are in our warehouse in hermetically sealed containers, unused, they were also part of the sale.
The state of Alaska had commissioned the fast ferries in the mid-2000s, and they were popular, completing a voyage in about half the time as a conventional ship, but they were taken out of service in 2015 and 2019. At the time, the Marine Highway cited rising fuel costs and poor performance in rough seas. It's not clear how much the state is now asking for them. They cost $68 million new. And U.S. Representative Don Young introduced legislation that aims to allow large cruise ships to return to Alaska this summer. Earlier this month, Canada extended a prohibition on cruise tourism to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. The decision effectively canceled Alaska's cruise season because of the Passenger Vessel Services Act. The U.S. maritime law requires large foreign-flagged ships to stop in Canada when traveling between Washington and Alaska. Young's legislation, called the Alaska Tourism Recovery Act, proposes a temporary workaround that would make round-trip voyages between Alaska and Washington a foreign voyage under U.S. law. it would only apply for the duration of Canada's cruise prohibition. In a press release, Young wrote that the pandemic devastated Alaska's cruise season last year, and his bill would provide relief and certainty to communities that depend on tourism. The Passenger Vessel Services Act isn't the only hurdle that cruise lines must face before returning to Alaska. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will require all ships to meet certain conditions and complete a mock sailing to test COVID-19 protocols before returning to service. This is KTOO News.